Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
When it comes to healthy relationships, we could have went on and on, but I'll be stopping this weekend on this topic. Brenton talked about started the series with the need to have love, and he talked about the agape love. And I'd like to finish it off with the topic of forgiveness. And it's a huge topic. It's not an easy topic when it comes to embracing forgiveness. First of all, to embrace forgiveness for ourselves, but also embrace forgiveness when it comes to how we treat others. And it's a relevant topic. The reality when it comes to the topic of forgiveness, it's never kind of finished in the way that we always have to deal with forgiveness. It's not like, okay, I get this now, I'm fine for life. It's always there. When we look at Jesus, when he was talking to the crowds and also his disciples, there was two main topics that he talked about. The first one was generosity. In Matthew 6, verse 24, he talks about the love of mammon, the love of this world. And he was challenging his followers that they were called to live a life that would honor God and have a life of worship toward God. And another topic that he addresses, it's the topic of forgiveness, giving forgiveness. And the heart of the gospel is founded and rooted in forgiveness. But at the same time, as you know, we travel through life. We have a tendency of taking offenses. We get hurt. And so what do we do with the hurts that comes our way? You look at how we responded when COVID came our way, from the right to the left, things that were said. And so how do you process all the things that comes our way? How do we address hard situations? And I think it's a big deal. The reality, like it says in Luke chapter 17, verse 1, then he said to his disciple, it is impossible that no offenses should come. Or another version, it's impossible for the stumbling blocks not to come. The reality is we live with other people, and so we will get hurt, and we will hurt other people too. And so how is that called to be addressed? And realizing if we don't address this in a proper way, it will affect us, and will also affect other people. The question I have for you this morning, how do you deal when you've experienced betrayal? What do you do when people say lies about you? That you go through a rough patch where people twist your words, or you've been unjustly treated. You were maybe fired by, and the reason were not legitimate, or maybe you've been involved in church for years and years, and this happened to you, and you say, well, like, that wasn't fair. And so when it comes to life, there's lots of injustice, and we go through a lot. Would you agree? And it's not easy, right? It's not easy to move on. Like, to say, come on, chop, chop, move on. It's not always easy. Like, I remember, a few months ago when I broke my back ribs, I had a cough at the same time I was ending a cold. And I knew that I was going to cough, and I was sweating before I was going to cough because I knew it was going to hurt. And so when I cough, it just felt like painful it was. And the thing is, you can't feel that because it's bones, but when it comes to our soul, when it comes to our hearts, it's hard to, you can't really show it, right? Because it's inside. But sometimes we suffer a lot, and we go through a lot of pain. Would you agree? Am I the only one? Like, when it comes to experiencing hurts and rejection, and I know at the same time that I've caused hurts because I'm human. I'll talk about that in a moment. But I've also received hurts, and how do I process that, right? It's an important topic. It's not a topic that's fun to talk about. I'm looking forward for the series we'll be starting on Easter. It's going to be a great series. But I knew I had to finish with this topic. I was even talking to some of the staff, and so some friends. Is that like, am I harping this topic of forgiveness? And they were saying, no, it's relevant to life. So I said, okay, I'll go on and I'll talk about it. And I have this text that I want to go through. It's found in Luke chapter 17, verse 3. And Jesus is talking about forgiveness to his disciples. And he says, so watch yourself. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. But if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. It's like, whoa, Jesus. Like, seven times in a lifespan, it's enough, right? Seven times in a year? Whoa. Are you pushing it, Jesus? And here Jesus says, you got to forgive him seven times in a day. Like, are you crazy? I can't do this. Like, and the disciples were kind of confused by this calling of walking in forgiveness. The only problem is that they did not know the cross yet, and the humility and the brokenness of the Christ that took our sins on the cross when he said, forgive them, they don't know what they do. So they didn't understand that concept yet because it didn't happen. But when you hear this thought about forgiving seven times in a day, God, I can do this. So in verse 5, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And he replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. And then he tells a story that explains what he's trying to convey to them in regard of forgiveness. That it's kind of a pretty straightforward message. He says, suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would you say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Would you not rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants, we have only done our duty. What Jesus is saying here is that forgiveness is not a question of faith, but a question of obedience. So he gives the story of this guy that is serving the master, and it's his job to do what he was called to do. So the servant, the master doesn't say thank you, because that's what he's called to do. And so what he's telling to his disciples is that when it comes to forgiveness, it's something that we do because he's calling us to do. It's called to be something that it's out of obedience. It's not out of faith. If you look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, after that Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray, he says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Like, that is like a bomb, right? Can you tell your neighbor that's a bomb? Like, unreal, right? The heaviness of forgiveness, how much is a big deal? So Jesus addresses his disciples and say, like, don't ask for more faith, just do it, because that's the call of that's the call on your life. And what makes us different as Christians compared to all the different religions, it's that part of forgiveness. It's not based on judgment. It's not based on justice. It's not based on taking a matter into your own hands. It talks about letting go and forgiving. And that's not easy when you suffered injustice. It's not easy when you go through pain. It's not easy when you're treated unjustly. It's not an easy thing to do. And I'm not saying that it happens overnight. For sure, it needs to be a decision. But there's also a journey of letting go, and it's not easy. Like, Jesus' example on the cross doesn't just inspire us, it holds us accountable. As his followers, we're called to forgive just as he forgave. So when it comes to looking at Jesus dying on the cross and taking, absorbing our sins like this eternal sponge that soaks our sins, we might say, well, that's very inspirational, and it is, but it causes me to be accountable, that I'm called to live like him, that I'm called to follow him. That means is to embrace forgiveness. Forgiveness is not optional. Can you say that to your neighbor? Forgiveness is not optional. It's not optional. You find it in the Lord's Prayer in verse 12 of Matthew 6, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Is it easy? No. But it's our calling. And I believe the Holy Spirit empowers us and helps us to do that. When it comes to our parents, when it comes to our siblings, when it comes to all the people that are around us, like I said, it's not easy, but we're called to walk in that way. When it comes to the church, we find this example in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Make allowance for each other's fault and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others, because we were forgiven much, and so we must forgive others. It's the calling that we have as believers. If you're a follower of Jesus and Jesus is your Lord, as you worship the Lord today and you express your love for him, it's amazing. We're called to do that as a people, to be a people that worship God in spirit and truth. But one of the calling that we have as a people, it's to forgive and to let go. So what is, I'd like to address what forgiveness is not. Sometimes we're not too sure. When it comes to forgiveness, what forgiveness is not, if I can say it this way? Well, forgiveness is not about forgetting, because you can't forget. You look at the past, you look at events in the past, and sometimes we don't want to go there, right? But when we go back, we look at the events in the past, like you will never forget, but you don't want it to have a grip on you, right? If you got stuff that happened 25 years ago, and it still has a grip on you, you gotta let it go. You gotta let it go. But you will never forget it. But when you don't forgive, it keeps you captive. And I'll talk about that in a moment. So forgiveness is not forgetting. You'll never forget, but you want to surrender it to the Lord so the pain no longer controls me or you. Secondly, forgiveness is not pretending that I'm not hurting. It's not ignoring it. Do you do that sometime? You got hurt, you got treated unjustly, and you just ignore it. You say, nah, it's not a big deal. Ah, you don't want to talk about it. You put it under the carpet, and you just move on. You're tough, you know? You're a man of steel, you know? Nothing reaches your heart. I'll do it again. No, your heart is flesh. It affects you. Like, don't hide it. Don't ignore it. Like, don't pretend it never happened. Don't throw yourself in this and that trying to appease it. Like, you know, be honest about your pain. Go to God. Or get people around you, express your pain. Not in a critical way, but asking people to pray for you so that you might experience healing in your soul. Forgiveness is not excusing the other's personal sin. Like, when there's abuse, physical, verbal, or sexual, it's never okay. It's never okay. Forgiveness doesn't mean calling wrong things right. And sometimes we hear this. No, you don't excuse other people's sin. No, you don't take the blame when you're abused, because it should never happen. If that's the case, then go for help. We're here to walk with you, but we don't want you to carry that alone. Forgiveness is not becoming a doormat or taking false blame, but it's about honoring our part and releasing the rest. There's some of us, how we deal with offenses and how we deal with confrontation, we say, it's my fault. We just take it. It's all easier, right? And the one that is more abusive is happy when you say to them or to him, it's my fault. You've got this shoulder that takes everything. It's on them. The only problem is you're not Jesus. So it doesn't work, right? So you're called to admit what you did wrong, but you're not called to take the sins of the world on your shoulders. I don't even know how to say it now. I won't even try. But it's owning your part and releasing the rest. Forgiveness doesn't mean having unhealthy boundaries or allowing people to keep hurting you. Like you can't forgive and have healthy limits and say, okay, this is far I can go right now. I'm not ready, or it's not safe. It's okay to do that. Trust is built. It's a journey. Also, forgiveness is not a feeling. It's not defined by what we feel. It's defined by what we choose. It's not measured by emotion, but by the decision of the will. So you say, well, I don't know. I don't feel like I forgave. Well, the thing is, you make a decision, your feelings will follow after. It will follow after. The more you bless and the more you want to see God's healing and the more you want to move forward in God's grace towards them and in life in general, it will grow. But also don't wait for your emotions to kick in to say, well, I don't think I'm going to forgive because I don't feel it. Well, you don't go like that too because that would be wrong. It's a question of the will. You decide to forgive. You decide to let go. It's a decision that you make. Last one when it comes to what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not the finishing line or the finish line. It's a starting point. But how we treat others afterwards shows if it's real. Our actions should reflect the grace we've chosen to give. True forgiveness is proven in how we respond after the offense. We walk out in love what we've chosen in our heart. But it might not happen overnight. You get me? It's a journey. But the thing is, to just see forgiveness stay inside and it's not reflected by what we say and what we do to other people, it should bring us to a place of blessing, even though it's hard. There should be this growth of forgiveness in you that influences the way that you behave. Does that make sense? So there's a fruit of forgiveness. And we'll talk about that in a moment. Why does forgiveness matter? Why does it matter? Because we all fail. Imagine if we would not have forgiveness toward each other. We would be in deep trouble because we all fail. Like, my parents did their best. I'm doing my best. And you are doing your best. We want to do our best. We should be wanting to do our best. But the reality is that we all leak. We all have issues. We're all growing. We're not saying here that this is the way I am and this is the way I will be. Accept me the way I am. No, we want to move forward. We want to mature. We want to grow in character. We want to be rooted in God. But the reality is we all blow it. Can you say that to your neighbor? I sometimes blow it. Maybe that's the first time we ever confess that. I don't know. But James chapter 4, verse 1, what causes fights and quarrels among you? They come from your desires that battle within you. Like, we still battle with the flesh. We still battle with desires. Like when we sometimes live like an orphan where we defend ourselves and we're afraid of lack and we're afraid of not being known, recognized, and we fight for that. These are heart issues. You know, there's a danger of living by accusing and excusing, where we accuse people all the time and we're always excusing ourselves. We don't want to live like that. I really believe that when we talked about that a few weeks ago, one of the key things for us to have healthy relationship is humility. Humility is so, so important when we acknowledge that we are human and that we need God and that we are in the process of being renewed every day by Him. So forgiveness, why forgiveness matters is because we all fail. Secondly, because unforgiveness leads to bitterness. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you and corrupt many. Like, I'm not above this. I remember we had a supper on Friday. We were telling the story of Min Michelin. We went to Mount Rushmore. And we brought our brother-in-law and sister-in-law from Ottawa, and so we trekked on there. And as we arrive, it was the first day we arrive in that region, and we see this tourist place that like a information place. So we go there, and then we see it like a herd of buffalo that were there. And I don't know, for one moment we thought that they were domestic buffaloes. And so we're walking among buffaloes to go to the washroom, like almost slapping a butt of a buffalo. Hey, bud. Like, and then we realized they were wild. Anyway, so that was not too smart from us. But the thing is, we looked at the valley, and oh, wow, it's such a beautiful valley. It was around 10 o'clock in the morning. And we said, oh, man, we should go down the valley. There was a buffalo on the other side of the valley, so it would be kind of cool to walk down. So we take each a 500-millimeter bottle of water, and we go down, and we're drinking as we're going down. And we get down, and it starts to get hot. And then it was, like, very hot. We start to go up, and then we don't have any water anymore. And so Micheline is there, and we're like halfway up, I guess, around halfway. And she's like this, and I just see her just fall for timber or just phase down. A good thing there was no rocks, eh? She just fell down, and we were panicking. She was out, so we tried to find some shade to carry her or bring her under the shade, and we were able to find a little tree. Long story short is that we were able to come out, and everything was fine, but there was a big sign before we went down there. It was written, caution, dangerous, dangerously hot. Make sure you're well equipped. But you know, when we read that sign, it won't happen to me. We're better than that. Yeah, that's never going to happen to us. It's the same thing with bitterness. You say, I'm going to let it in my heart. It's not going to affect me. It's not going to affect others. Not you, it will. Same thing. As you go down the valley, it was 100 plus Fahrenheit when we came out. And so, yeah, we lack water. So when you don't deal with resentment, and you don't deal with heart issues, it will infect other people. It's not, it will, okay? So it's so important for us to deal with our heart issues and to let go. You might be a parent here, and your kids are growing up. Like, what are you sowing in their lives? What are you sowing in their lives when it comes to your coworker, when it comes to your own parents, when it comes to other people? What are you sowing? Because it will have an effect on them. It will have an effect on them. So you want to be aware of that unforgiveness leads to bitterness. Another thing that unforgiveness does, forgiveness brings me freedom, but at the same time, unforgiveness brings me into a prison. When you choose not to forgive, you are placing yourself in the prison. And Jesus refers to that in Matthew chapter 18. It even talks about tormentors in that prison. Meaning that when you say yes to bitterness and unforgiveness, you are given the right of the enemy to put his foot in the door and to come and torment you. You know how he's going to do that? Sleep, take away your sleep. He's going to come and bring you to a place where you only see through these lenses, and that you lose your joy, you lose your peace, you're just caught in the inside, and you're not able to move forward. Like, I'm the first one there. And I realize, okay, I'm caught. Why am I caught? Because I've got to release. I've got to let go. Forgiveness breaks the chains of resentment, bitterness, and emotional heaviness. Unforgiveness causes me not to move forward. It causes me to live in suspicion and mistrust. Think about your marriage. If you don't deal with heart issues, you don't deal with unforgiveness, and you walk in resentment and bitterness, you're creating a wall. And it's going to affect you. And that wall is like one block after the other. Listen, this is huge. You're creating a box around you, and you're becoming a prisoner. And the enemy comes and plays with you, lies to you, to create even more blocks and even more thickness. And then you're in a place where you're not yourself anymore. You can't love. You kind of change personality to some degree. You're not who you used to be. And so you need to see Jesus heal your heart. You need to ask Jesus to come and forgive your sins, but to say, God, free me. Make a hole in this wall. God, I don't want to be caught in this wall. I don't want to be a prisoner of this. Because this is where you lose, like I said, you lose your joy, you lose your peace, you lose your effectiveness, and you always have these glasses in your face, and you're looking, and you're seeing all the stuff that is based on your, all the stuff that is around you, and you see it based on the interpretation from your hurts. So God wants to bring you freedom. You know, forgiveness keeps our relationships alive. Actually, when I was thinking about this message, this is what it really resonated in my heart. If I have forgiveness, my relationships are alive and well. But when I don't have forgiveness, my relationships starts to die. It really does. It really, really does. This is why Jesus is so clear about the need for us to walk in repentance. Another reason why we want to experience forgiveness is because forgiveness breaks the power of the enemy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says, a further reason for forgiveness is to keep from being outsmarted by Satan, for we know what he is trying to do. Like, when you walk in forgiveness, you are aware of the traps of the enemy because you are at war, like it or not. There's a war over your marriage. There's a war over you and your kids. There's a war over your siblings. There's a war over where you work, if you're a business owner or a coworker. There's a war over the church. There is a war. And so when things come your way, you're aware about of the schemes of the enemy. And so you don't fall into it because you know that there's a war going on, and that war is to enslave you. And you don't want to let yourself enslave. And it's not easy when the enemy comes. But this is when we got to take a step back and realize that if I say yes to it, if I absorb it, it's going to cause a lot of hurts in my life, in the life of others. And why do I forgive? It's because it reflects the gospel. Real quick, how do you walk out of it? How do you walk it through? First, you got to choose to forgive the offense. You got to choose to let go. You got to choose mercy over judgment. Can you say that to your neighbor? Mercy over judgment. And you got to realize that Jesus gets you. He understands rejection. He understands what is to be lied about, to be sold by a friend, but treated with injustice. He understands that. So you go before him. And you say, God, give me your heart. Secondly, what do? You take ownership for your part. You embrace humility. You know, like I said, if you were abused, no, don't realize it's you're not the fault. But in normal relationship, you got to take ownership for your part. And the other step is letting go of the desire of vengeance. I need to stop replaying the offense and wishing harm. I need to hand my pain to the Lord. It's not hoping they get what they deserve. You're not cheering for their failure. But sometimes we do that, right? Someone offends you and treats you wrong. They're going through a rough time and you say, ha ha, they're reaping what they're sowing. Who are you to judge? Who are you to sit on the throne and say, hey, they're reaping what they've sown? It's easy for you, but you don't know. Be careful because it might happen to you too. If something goes wrong, people will judge you. You don't want to do that. Like Proverbs 24, verse 17 says, don't rejoice when your enemies fall. Don't be happy when they stumble. No, bless. That's the call. It's to bless. We're talking about taking the high road, right? We're not saying this by our own strength. We're doing it in the Lord. Like in Romans chapter 12, verse 19 says, don't take vengeance. Leave it to the Lord. Bring it to God. God will take care of it. Lastly, well, not lastly, but almost, it's speaking and acting in grace. I need to stop speaking negatively about the person. You know, I can't continue to yap, 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 yap. You know, I got to bless, like it says in Luke chapter 6, verse 28. I'm not called to curse, I'm called to bless. And the last point is, it's possibly moved towards reconciliation. Romans 12, verse 18. If it's possible, as far as depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Like, take a step in God's grace. Maybe take a baby step, but say, God, lead me. You know, lead me. So just as I'm wrapping up this morning, forgiveness is a big deal. Unforgiveness is a big deal. I don't know where you are, but I know one thing. You've all experienced injustice. Like, legitimate or not, we all got hurt. We all got betrayed. We all got lied about. Inevitable. But what am I going to do with it? That's the big question. Will I let it fester in my heart, or will I give it to God? Even when it comes to big stuff, we still have to let go. We still have to let go. We don't want to be in a prison. Maybe you're here this morning and you are in a prison. I just pray that you would say, God, help me to see this wall fall so I can move on. Because if you say yes to the prison, you'll be captive. And Jesus came for your freedom. Amen. I would ask you to stand. Father, I thank you so much for your plan of healing, that you are Yahweh Rapha that healed. You're the God that heals. And you see our wounds, Lord. You see the things that happens in life. And Father, I don't want to be a prisoner. I don't want to be caught with bitterness and resentment in my heart. I don't want to see this in my kids. I don't want to see this with people around me, Father. I want to see healing in my soul and my inner person. Father, you know what is happening in my heart. And you know what's happening in everybody's heart here. And I know that you want to bring freedom. And the word of the Lord to your people this morning is freedom. You want to bring freedom in our hearts so that we can have healthy relationships. And I cannot have healthy relationships if I'm not free inside. So, Father, I pray that you would forgive my sin, hosting it or keeping it alive in me, and that you would wash over me because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and that you would set me free so I can love the way that you've called me to love and be what you've called me to be. Father, I don't want to be depersonalized. I don't want to be to the point because of circumstances that I'm not who I am anymore. Father, go beyond my words this morning and bring healing, restoration, so that we can move on, so that we can do your will. And the battle is to try to stop us of doing your will and being paralyzed and imprisoned. Like the devil keeps us alive just enough for us to suffer. But you've come to bring full freedom. And Father, I say yes to that freedom. Help me to humble myself. Help me to surrender. Help me to let go. Father, just be glorified in this place. And I pray for your spirit to move us beyond this message as we face this week and as we do life, that we would have a pure heart. And when we do have a pure heart, we see you. So have your way, Father, in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.